Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548. And we're live on the Globetrotting program on this lovely Sunday afternoon. Alhamdulillah, Sunday afternoon, running up towards the holidays. We're already almost towards the middle of November, and companies are starting to prepare to wind down. Order books in most of the manufacturing companies are now closed already. So that tells us we are at the doorstep of the holiday season. And this is the season that everybody waits for. It's called also the silly season, where people go and do different things, different places of the world, within the country, do different things as well, and have fun. But have fun with your deen in mind. That's all what I always have to say. So please, wherever you go, whatever you do, I've heard from many people that says that they've been with some people to Vietnam, and they were told that you can't just read namaz anywhere. You can't just put your musalla anywhere. Believe me, it is not true. Please believe me, you can make your salah just about anywhere, on the roadside, at the shopping centers, at the one-stop pit stops, wherever it may be. You are allowed to make salat. Nobody will stop you. People will come around you. They will watch what you're doing. They will take photographs of you. They will take videos of you making salat, which is, I would say, a good thing, because in that case, they are now interested in what you're doing, and that may change their life, inshallah. Allah knows best. So if whoever tells you that you cannot make salah in Vietnam, please believe me, they are lying to you. I will tell you out of my personal experience over the last 10 years that you are allowed to make namaz wherever you go. At the airports, they may not have jamaat khanas or musallas, but you have your own musalla. You go to a secluded corner. Obviously, at the airport, you're not going to stand in the middle of everybody and make your salah. You're going to find a secluded place, make your salah, and get done. And another thing also, wherever you go and you make wudu, please, 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 clear up or clean up when after making wudu. Do not leave all that water lying around in puddles on the floor and on the basin around. There's tissues there. Please clean it, wipe it, dry it. Please do that. Not only there, but wherever you go in the world. When you're making wudu, even if you're going to the airports, you're making wudu, please clear up. We find many a times our people that go to whichever part of the world, they will go into the ablution or to the toilets and or to the bathrooms, so-called, and they make wudu there. And by doing so, they have all the splashes on the floor, they have splashes on the side of the basins, they just turn around and walk away from there. Please, let us not have that type of akhlaq in us. Let us change that. Let us get tissues from the side. There's many, many tissues you'll find inside. You'll find the side. On the sides also you'll find those rolls. Take that, wipe it. You do not become small by wiping the floors. You do not become small by wiping the basin or the surrounds of the basin. Please do that. Clean up. Throw the tissues away in the bin nicely. Don't just leave it there. When you walk out of there, let it be a clean area the way you got it when you walked in. Because you'd find in many of the shopping centers around the world, when you go into shopping centers, you'd find that the places are always neat, clean and tidy. They have people standing by the doors all the time or outside. As soon as you come out, they'll go in, they'll wipe, clean up and get out again. Do not wait for them to do it. Do it yourself. So when they go back in, they will say there's a Muslim that went in, he did what he had to do, and he came out, he left the place spotless. That makes a difference. That is propagation of deen also. And that shows our cleanliness wherever we go. So if you're traveling, wherever you're traveling, this is an important factor. I find many a times, many a times, people go to different destinations, I'm specifically talking of airports. And then you'll have shopping centers also, but specifically airports. You'll find them messing the places up. In hotels also, the reception lobby area, they have a bathroom or a toilet on the side. While waiting, if you had to check out early or check out late or maybe check in late or whatever it is, and during your salah time, you just want to make your salah outside in the around the reception area in one corner, you'd find they would go to their bathrooms and toilets and they will mess the place up. I've seen that. It is not fair. And it's not becoming of a Muslim to do that. So let's change our way of doing things. Because Allah will be pleased with us if we do it that way. So let us do that wherever we go. Let us please Allah first of all by being neat and tidy and clean. Because that is part of our deen. So we need to show them that this is part of our deen. This is what we do. And inshallah, Allah will make it easy for us all. Allah will protect us. Allah will make it possible that we all, in whatever we do, wherever we go, Allah will make it that things will work out for us. Alhamdulillah. So now we are already on holiday season. I've just come across something. Somebody sent me a message this morning. And it's so interesting that our youngsters in this world, our Muslims youngsters, are advancing in the academic world, in the world as a whole, and they, alhamdulillah, prospering. I've come across something which says that there is a youngster by the name of Muhammad Mullah. I think he's from Crosby, yes. And he made it to the third stage of being the next Petronas Trackside Fluid Engineer, the PTFE for Mercedes-AMG Petronas Formula One team. He's one of the top 10 candidates, which has been selected from 7,203 applications worldwide. In this stage, the public will be asked to vote for him, who they think the next PTFE should be. So, with that in mind, on the 12th of November, Monday the 12th of November, he's asked people to join in voting for him. It's on LinkedIn. So if you go on LinkedIn and you search for LinkedIn/IN/MOOLLA Mullah, and you can sign in. He's one of 10 from 7,203 applications. What an achievement, alhamdulillah. So spread the word, if it is so. Let's get our Muslim youngster out there and let's make him proud of what achievement he has got so far, and put him in that position, if it is so. He is apparently from Crosby, and his name is Muhammad Mullah. So if you search for him also, it's Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, and Mullah is M-O-O-L-L-A, Muhammad Mullah. Let's see if we can make him proud and get him out there, inshallah, and assist him in getting out there, and showing the world that there's a Muslim from South Africa who's reached that stage, alhamdulillah. Fantastic. How great that is, alhamdulillah. How proud those parents must be to have a child who has reached that stage. Allah make it easy for them. Allah protect them. Allah guide them all. And Allah make it possible that he reach the stages that he would like to achieve there. And inshallah, Allah will make it possible. With good intentions, it will happen, inshallah. Now, today, I'd like to just brief you about visas. We're going to talk a little about visas, and because lots of people are confused about visas. When it comes to visas, what exactly are visas? Why I'm talking about this? Because this week I had a few calls that came in asking me about a brief, simple questions about visas. They find that it's something which is very difficult to do. People find that when you have to apply for a visa, it's like applying for a birth certificate or something. Visas are not as difficult as that. They'll ask you technical questions only for their security. And now with all those technicalities around the world, they'll ask you for some more information and so on. So I'm going to brief you on what the process of visas are and what is a visa in the first place. So I'm going to give you some details. Now, a visa is a form of permission for a non-citizen of that country to travel to that particular country. Enter, transit, or remain in a particular country also. A visa does not guarantee entry. Let me repeat this to you again. A visa does not guarantee entry. Many a times we feel that we have applied for a visa, we've got a visa in our hand, and we are sure to go to a certain destination or a certain country. That country has they can, when you reach their borders, refuse entry for you to go into that country. They can do that. I know of many, many people. In fact, there's somebody that I've been busy with in the last 2 weeks regarding an American visa. He had a 10-year visa. Everything in order, 100%. He's been a few times to America. He does business with them. He's been a few times there. Going there, everything was fine. On his last trip a few months ago, he decided he needs to go to meet some suppliers, and he thought, I'd go to America again one more time. I've got my 10-year visas. He buys his ticket. He gets everything organized. He gets his staff guys all together. They decide to get to the airport. When they get there, they are refused entry into United States of America. Reason being, they wouldn't give you a reason. You cannot do anything about it. They are allowed to do that by law, where they can turn you away if they so wish. And that happened to him, and he had to turn back. So he came back and he appealed it, and so on and so on, and it went on and on and on, and he's still busy with it at the moment. And they come with technical issues, technical problems, just for nothing, just to drag it along. Although everything is in order, suppliers' details are there, suppliers' letters are there, guarantees are there, they just refused to let him go in. Alhamdulillah, he dons a mashallah beard. You can outwardly see that he's a good Muslim. He's a Muslim, as you can outwardly see with a beard, and you can look at him and say, this is a Muslim. And they wouldn't let him go in, although he has a 10-year visa. So that is why I say a visa does not guarantee entry. That remains the right of the immigration officials of the country concerned. Now, you'd find, for example, if you're going to Palestine, for example, you come to, if you're flying on KLM, when you get to the counters, they have a separate counter. When you get to the counters, although South Africans do not require a visa to enter Israel, so-called Palestine, apartheid Israel, you're not allowed to, you don't need a visa. But when you get to the border, they can refuse you and tell you to go back again. And they will not allow you to enter the country. Now remember something. A country that does not require a visa does not mean that you do not require a visa at all to enter the country. What they're merely saying is, you do not require to apply for a visa beforehand, but when you get there, you will get a visa on arrival. Many countries do that. Visa on arrival. You get to that particular country, present your passport, having a South African passport. They have laws that will tell them that South African passports do not require for you to apply for a visa beforehand. But when you get there, at their discretion, they will stamp your passport and let you go through. You will be allowed to stay there for 15 days, 30 days, 45 days, 60 days, whatever the rules are. You'll be able to stay in that particular country for that period, up to that period of time. So, in other words, they have given you a visa on arrival. So it's still a visa that they've given you. Now that visa on arrival, they are allowed and they are at liberty to refuse you that visa. So if they tell you, no, you cannot go in, we will not stamp your passport. In other words, they're not giving you a visa to go into the country. So you have no right. By law, you cannot challenge that and sue them or do what you have to do or do what you want to do. You cannot do that. It's their prerogative of you not going into that country. So that is very, very important. So again, the visa does not guarantee entry. But the countries that require to apply for a visa, try and give as much information as possible. Now, when it comes to where you're applying for visas, for example, Schengen visas, which is Europe, then you have the UK visas, then you have the American visas, they will ask you for information, certain information on the forms. Then they will ask you for some additional information. What they really want to see is that you have property or you have family, your roots are here, you do not have any intention of settling down in that particular country, you are here to stay, everybody is here for you, you are here, you will not leave this country, you are secured in this particular country, in your own home country. You are not leaving to go and settle down there. That's what they want to see. They do not want you to be an illegal immigrant in that country after 30, 45, 60 days. They want you to come back to South Africa. So if you can prove to them you have that much property, you have that much wealth, you have whatever you may have in this particular country, and you are here to stay, if they don't doubt anything from you on your side, they will then allow you to go through because they know you're going in for something and you're coming back again. But then again, you'll get some of these operators or some of these consultants who look at you differently because of your religion, I would say. Today, it has unfortunately become like that. They look at your religion and then they will probably turn you away, and that's exactly what happens to many, many people. But you can reapply, try again. They will ask you, have you applied? Have you been refused? You mention yes. Do not lie on your visa form. They will pick it up. I give you an example. When you're applying for a visa, another very, very important thing, social media. What they do is, I was talking to somebody from the U.S. Embassy also, and we were just talking to them and asking them. And what they said is, what they look for in particular, now this is very important, please take note of this, what they look for in particular, when you're applying for a visa, they want your aliases or your names of your social medias, all the different types of social media, your Facebook, your Instagram, your Hey, there's so many. I don't even have count of all those things. But anyway, they want all these groups that you are involved with. They want all your aliases. They build a profile on you, on your name, because what they do is they punch in your name according to the spelling or whatever aliases you have. You may have your particular name, but your alias is something else. And in that case, what they do is they go onto your alias and they check. They see in what direction you're going. They see the direction of your thoughts. They are too sharp. They do that. They check out the direction of your thoughts. And in doing so, they build a profile on you. So if you keep on posting about Palestinian issues, you keep on posting about Israeli issues or American issues, American politics and so on, they build a profile and see which direction you are, which direction your thinking is. And they've got the systems to do that. And they build a profile, and then they have the right of refusal. When you get to any country, they will tell you, okay, on this grounds, on this basis, because they'll ask you bluntly, when you are there, they'll ask you, when you go for your interview as well, even at the American embassy, when you go for your interview, they will ask you, what do you think of so-and-so bombing that took place? What do you think of so-and-so murder that took place in, probably in Palestine, or if there was a big issue about something? For example, in South Africa, there was those bombings in Verulam and so on. Somebody that went for a visa to the United States, for the United States visa. When they came here in Johannesburg, in center, when they were taken in for the interview, they specifically asked, last month, they specifically asked, what do you think about the bombing in Verulam? Who do you think is behind that? Which country do you think is behind that? They ask questions like that. So you must remember, if you are involved in all these things, and if you're applying for your visa, you have to put your aliases, because they will pick you up. And on your profiles and so on, if you have to, just get rid of it and start afresh again. But please do not get involved with all these things when you're applying for a visa, because it will definitely come back and bite you. So in this case, be very, very careful, be very, very wary, and just be alert when you are applying for a visa of what you do on your social media profiles and all your other profiles that you have and other activities that you do. Just be very, very careful, because for sure they are going to pick you up on that. Now, you get some countries when you are applying for a visa, they may ask you to present your return tickets and evidence of means, that's availability of funds. They will do a rough calculation. If you say you are taking $1,000 with you and you are going for 14 days, they will do a rough calculation on their systems. They are also jacked up. They will do a calculation that $1,000 for 15 days, will it last you? Can you survive on that $1,000? How will it work as far as your accommodation, your food, your transport, all that is concerned? And then they will tell you, on that they can base also that you are granted or refused to enter the country. Because in that case, they will then calculate and say, you know what, this guy can't afford it. He's going to go into the country. He doesn't have that much of money. He only has $1,000. And that is not enough. It will not suffice for him to live for that 14, 15 days or 10 days or whatever it may be. They will then do the calculation. And upon that, they will decide and say, okay, we're okay with everything. We're okay with your entire application, but we're not okay with how much you're going to be taking with you, because we feel that you will not survive with that type of money for that period of time that you're going. So unfortunately, when you got more money, you can come and apply, and we will then reconsider it. But for now, we cannot accept you, because you are then going to go there and probably be dependent on somebody else for for the monies, and somebody else will have to then work for you or feed you, as probably a local person. And that's what they don't want to do. They want you to be self-sufficient while you are there. They want you to spend your own money while you are there, because that is also naturally income for them. So they want that to happen. So when you're applying, also make sure you have sufficient funds, that when you go there, you can prove to them that, listen, I'm only taking out $1,000 in cash. Here's my credit card statement. I am going to use my credit card as well. I am going to be going there, and I'm going to be drawing money on that side. And I'm doing this simply for security reason. I don't want to carry that much of cash with me. So I'm only taking $1,000 or $500, and this is what I'm going to be spending on that side, which I have in my card, and I'm going to be using it on that side. Or I'm going to be drawing money on that side. In that case, it's acceptable because they know that worldwide you can draw money from the different ATMs around the world in the local currencies. So that they will probably allow you to do, and you can then go in with that. But if not, just be very careful and very wary. So these are just basic things which I'm telling you of, that just be very careful when you are applying, what you're doing, how you're doing. It's important that you take note of all these small little things. Now, there's some countries which you would go and apply for a visa. It's very basic. Get your information filled out, sent through, done. They'll stamp your passport and out. There you go. Also, the rate of refusal in some of the countries in the world when you go there, rate of refusal on arrival is minimal. It's very, very small. So in that case, you may just not have any issue with your visas. You may not have any issue with entry into the country because simple countries. Now, countries like those, I would say, are more on the Far Eastern countries. They don't care. They when you apply for a visa, they just check your basic information. If everything's okay, allow you, get into the country and move on. For them, it's tourism income also, which is huge. So they allow you to go, and that's the way they do it. So just be very wary and very careful as to where you go and how you apply and what you do. Now, you will see that some countries have compulsory currency exchange regulations on first entry. Many, many countries, you're not allowed to take a certain amount of cash with you when you're going into the country. It's also part of your visa regulations that they will tell you that you are allowed to come into the country, but you're not allowed to carry more than $5,000 in cash with you. Although you have your documents from South Africa where you have R1 million worth of money, where you are probably have $50,000-$60,000 which you're allowed to take. You have that in your possession. You are allowed to take that with you abroad. But upon arrival at the country that you're going to, they will want you to declare that money. That even in the plane sometimes they will give you some forms to fill out and they will ask you how much of currency do you have. You got to make mention. Because if it's too much for them, they feel, even though we have the laws on our side that allow you to take it out, they will want to know from you why you're taking so much into that country. Although you'll tell them, I'm going to be spending the money, I'm going to be probably meeting some business people, giving them the money, whatever it may be. But they will want you to declare that. Only the country or countries you plan to visit can provide up-to-date information about the requirements for the South African passport holders, which change all the time. So when you are going and leaving, before you go to any country where you require visas, sometimes some countries where you did not require a visa. For example, there was a time last year, before last, whenever it was, that when I went to Europe also, there was to the UK, no visas required. You buy your ticket, jump in the plane, move on, get there. They'll stop you, they question you, certain things, whatever it is, and let you go through. No visas required. Now there's visa rules and regulations for the UK. There's a price tag on your visa application also. So my suggestion is, things change all the time. Do not ask people of what to do and where to go and how to do it and how much is it, because it changes from time to time. From experience, I'm telling you, I knew certain prices, I knew certain parts of the application, what to say, what to do, how to do, all that. And I advise people, when you're going for a UK visa, this is what you must do, this is what you must fill out, this is what it is. Next best thing, things change around, and when they get there, they tell me, listen, it was something totally different again. So in that case, just be very careful, and yourself, it doesn't harm you at all to just pick up the phone, get the telephone numbers of the embassy concerned, contact them and say, listen, I need to apply for a visa. What are your requirements? They have a list of requirements which they will mail you immediately. You take that current information, abide by that information that they sent you, immediately take all that together and you do your application. So then you know exactly how much it costs. You are not taken by surprise when you find that it has jumped up by 50 or 100% from the value that you've been told. And things change all the time. So just be very careful, very wary, and ask the embassies for the information. That is the easiest way of doing things, inshallah. So we are busy. In fact, currently I'm busy with profiles where we're busy with visa requirement information, and we're putting it onto our website, www.globetrotting.co.za, which I'm going to try and update every month, which I'm busy with the embassies. I'm having difficulty with some of the embassies with that information, but I will get there. It's taking me time because I've got to do it in between my work time. So it's taking me time to get that information. I will get it. I'll post it on, so it makes it easier. The countries are all listed. You just click on the country, check what information is required. I will have that list that the country gives us. I will have that list of information on the website. You can just download it and print it out, check what's required, but it will be updated all the time, inshallah. So that makes it easier for you to check what's required when it comes to visa applications. So that will be coming soon, and I'll give you the website address when it's all up and running already, or as soon as I get it up and running, inshallah, I'll give you all that information. Now, remember something, when you arrive at an airport, there are many, many different procedures and processes that you have to follow when it comes to your visa, your visa on arrival, or your visa. You have loose leaf visas, you have visas stamped in your passports, and so on. So there's different types of visas. So just make sure you have the correct visa that you're going with. Make sure that it's authentic. Even if somebody had assisted you in applying for a visa, make sure it's authentic. And then when you get there, you do not have a problem. We'll continue with this discussion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globetrotting program. Alhamdulillah, we are already on holiday season. We are close to holiday season. We are at a time where people are now preparing for holidays, although we have lots of families who are in pareshan because of their children who are busy with examinations. So those that are busy with examinations, good luck to you. Don't think of your holiday now, because that's still going to come. So chill out and just study and go on with your studies, because you don't want to go for a holiday while you're on holiday sitting there stressing that, now what is my results going to be like? I think that is the worst feeling that you're going to ever have. So rather study, make the best of it, go with an open mind for a holiday. This year schools are closing very, very late and opening early next year again, which is sad for all those that had a hard year when it came to studies. But well, that is the law of the country, and that's what we've got to abide by. And schools are going to be closing around about the 12th or something. So whoever is busy with examination, everything of the best. May Allah make it easy for you. Remember, there's lots of du'as while you're writing examination. Read those du'as. Allah will make it easy for you. You'll probably glide through the examination. And whatever you're doing also, whatever work you're doing as far as your schooling is concerned, just make sure that you have, in whatever you do, in the back of your mind, you have that Allah is the one that does. Allah does. Whatever it is, Allah does. So when it comes to your examination, it's not what you do. It's not what I know. If you open that paper and if Allah wills that you're going to be blank, believe me, it will happen. So with the hope of Allah in your heart, read your du'as. Go out there and write your exams, and Allah will make it easy for you. Remember Allah while you're writing your exams. Inshallah, Allah will make it easy for you. And then you can go and have majah wherever you are, wherever you want to be. In December, January, early January, you're going to have fun wherever you're going. And then too, please do not forget to take your musalla with you. I always say that. So inshallah, you will have a good time. Now we're talking about visas. As you heard earlier, before the break, we spoke about the basics of visas. What? The do's and don'ts in the beginning of applying for a visa. Now, as we know, that you get different types of visas. You get visas, that's business visas, work visas, study visas, immigration permits. You get all different types of visa and permits that countries issue. Now, when you get to a country, and if you say, for example, you get your visa and you reach the destination and they refuse your entry, to come back to South Africa, that is at your own expense. They do not buy tickets for you to come back again. Deportation is at your expense. So wherever you are, you need to be prepared where you have a return ticket. If they deport you from there, return ticket, back out again. Back home. That's how it is. You may cry, you may do what you want. I know of many, many, many people, in particular the United States and Israel, where they've been turned back and they were refused entry into the country. Many people. You can do nothing about that. So, just make sure that you have your return ticket and you come back as they want you to come back and push you out from that country. Now, are all the visas the same? Definitely not. Each country deals with visitors differently. Some countries issue specific visas for specific visitors. You'll get a tourist visa, you get a journalist visa, you get a business visa, depending on your application, and then they scrutinize that visa accordingly, they scrutinize you accordingly, so you apply beforehand for the type of visa. Now, if you are just going to any country that tells you visa on arrival, remember something. If you are going on business and you want a business visa, it's not the business visa that's on arrival. That you got to apply for beforehand. The normal visitor's visa is what they talk about. So when they tell you visa on arrival, and you say, okay, that country, the visa on arrival sorted, we'll just go there. For example, if you're going to Malaysia, when you get to Malaysia, you get visa on arrival. At the airport, they will stamp your passport, allowed to stay here for 14 or 30 or 21 or 30 days, whatever it is, you get in. But specifically, that visa is for visitors only. They will not mention on there that this visa on arrival is business visa or student visa, whatever it is. That is a different process altogether. So that confusion, which we've had a few, there were a few youngsters that went to China, that went and applied and got their visas to study in the university in China, medical university, whatever. They had a problem with their visas. Why? The application process was not correct. What they applied for and what they went for were two different things. So they could not study there and they were all deported back to South Africa again. So that is very, very important. Visa is your entry, your ticket into any country. So be very careful on what you do about your visa. Now, some visas are valid just for a few days, some for probably 2-3 months, some for a single entry, some for multiple entries, depending how you're traveling. For example, if you are traveling, I give you my example, which is a common example, and you probably know exactly what I'm going to, or what country I'm going to be talking about. When you are traveling from Johannesburg and you feel you want to go to Cambodia, but you want to go via Dubai, via Vietnam. So you go in Johannesburg, Vietnam, you get off, you'll probably stay a day in Vietnam, you go to Cambodia. You go to Cambodia by bus. So if you go in by bus to Cambodia, if you're not flying in, you will need a visa for Vietnam. When you come into Cambodia, you finish your tour in Cambodia, which there also you pay $30, $35, and you get visa on arrival at the airport or at the checkpoints, at the border control, you get your visa there. You go into the country. When you come back out of Cambodia, coming back into Vietnam, you will have to have a multiple visa. Alternatively, you've got to reapply for a new visa again, a single entry. So you have to have a multiple visa where you're going into a country, even if you're in transit, going out to another country and coming back again, you will need a multiple visa. So that is something that is important, because like Dubai, for example, many people travel from Johannesburg via Dubai to many different destinations. But they get off in Dubai, spend a day or two in Dubai because of the transit period that they have, where they got 11, 12, 13 hours transit. They get out into Dubai. They have their single entry visa. Once they get into Dubai, I had somebody who was stranded at the Saigon airport, who had a single entry visa into Dubai. But when they left from Johannesburg, they stopped over in Dubai because they had 11-hour transit. They got out in Dubai, visited Dubai for 5-6 hours, came back to the airport and continued their journey to Vietnam. Now when they had to go back to come back home, but they were transiting Dubai, where they were staying 3 days in Dubai thereafter. That 96-hour story they were going to do in Vietnam, in Dubai. So when they came back and they came to Saigon Airport, they were refused access to get onto the plane. Reason being, their visa was used up for the first time when they transited Dubai. And they got off in Dubai, so their visas was used up. They did not have a visa again when they got onto the plane. So in that case, make sure you rather spend a little more and apply for a multiple visa so you are very safe. that if you get into the country, get out, get in again, you have your multiple visa, which you do not have a problem with, and you can go in and out when you want, when it comes to your multiple visa. So very important, have a multiple visa application when you're going. Now you'll get some countries that you probably don't require visas at all. Also on arrival, even if it's not a visa that they issue you, they just allow you to get into the country and get out again. You will get that. So it's not like a visa as such. That is okay, fine. But they also, they're allowed to refuse you when they wish, they're allowed to refuse you to get into the country. And that is of importance. Now, how do I know if I need a visa? That's important. You've got to definitely check out the website, as I said. The onus is on you to find out whether you need a visa or not. Not your airline. So, okay, now that we book with travel agents, you ask your travel agent and they will advise you. But if you're doing online bookings, it's not the airline's responsibility, whom you're booking your tickets with, to tell you that you do require a visa. It's not their responsibility. If they do tell you, that's in good faith. So make sure that you follow that and make sure that you find out about the visa. The regulations change frequently, so don't rely on just random Googling the information, because that information changes. Rather go and contact the embassy direct, go onto their website in the country that you are in or you're planning to visit, and that will have the most up-to-date information. They will have telephone numbers that you can call, where you can ask them what to do when it comes to your visa, when it comes to your entry into their country. Rather do that. You can also seek advice from the local government foreign affairs office in South Africa, which is DIRCO, Department of International Relations and Cooperation. You can contact them, go onto their website and ask them what's required. They will probably be also able to assist you when it comes to that. There are also commercial visa companies that will arrange paperwork for you, but obviously it's for a fee. So people that are familiar with it, they do visa applications, they do visas for you. There is a fee involved, but it can be done. You know, it's not a train smash. If you have an agent, visa agent that's doing visas, do it with them. They know best what's required, and they will tell you this is exactly what's required, but it will cost you sometimes up to 500-600 and more than what the visa cost is. But I think it's worth it sometimes, because you have no hassle, no issues, visa's done, sorted, they know what to do, so they will get your visas for you, have it in your possession, done, period. That's very, very important. But make sure you use a reliable visa agent, because you may get a fly-by-night. Then you got damal, then you got trouble thereafter. So just be very careful when you're doing that. Now, typically, the information that you will need to get a visa is, you'll need to fill out forms, which they first of all give you, which is downloadable on PDF from many, many different websites of that particular country. Download the visa forms, fill out the form. It will ask you basic questions. Normally, they'll ask you for your name, date of birth, profession, passport numbers, expiry dates, issue dates, mostly expiry dates, intended dates of travel. They'll ask you for next of kin. They'll ask you for addresses, email addresses, telephone numbers, basic stuff. Fill that information in. Try and fill out that form incomplete. It must be complete. So do that. Once you got all that done, when the forms are all filled out, they will then ask you, okay, we need a photograph of yourself. Alternatively, attach a passport photograph onto the application form. Then what you do is you attach that photograph onto the passport, onto the application form. That's what they will require from you. They will ask you probably to email it to them, which then they will process. And then they will tell you, okay, in 7 days, you come with the original form. Alternatively, lots of countries, what they want you to do is to fill out that form, put your photograph on there, do what you have to do, give them the information they require. They'll require your flight information. They'll probably require your tickets. They'll probably require your hotel booking confirmations. They'll require lots of information regarding yourself going to the country. You need to put all that together. And then you need to go to the embassy and submit it. You stand in those queues, you submit it. Once you submit it, they check it out. Everything filled in, properly done. You pay for it, they'll give you a receipt. You go away with the receipt. Within 7 days, they probably send you a message and tell you, okay, your visa is ready for collection. Come in and collect, but come in with your receipt. When you go there, they will then hand your passport back to you again. That's what happens in most cases. So That is why we say it's a process when it comes to applying for a visa. So you need to sometimes spend half a day going out for a visa, filling out forms, doing all that. It's a half a day's job. So you get these agents that do it. Good luck. Let them do it. They know what to do. They fill it out, submit, get done, and it's done very easily and quickly. Now, what else do you need to do? You probably need to send off your passport, which is now you have to do all the time. And additional stuff, additional things that you have to do is to probably, when they call for any information from you, sometimes they will ask you, you need to come in, we'd like to talk to you. So you need to go to the embassy. That's what you have to do, that's additional stuff. Now, lots of times you will find that when you applying for visas in some countries, they are complicated. For example, if you are obtaining a Russian visa, for instance, is expensive and involves filling out lengthy and incredible detailed online forms. You will also need a letter of invitation from someone in Russia. You'll need a hotel or a travel agency to send you information. And conversely, some are very, very straightforward. But when they ask you for letters, you need to get the correct letters from a sponsor, so-called, on that side. So rather have hotel information, a booked hotel, where you paid for the hotel accommodation and they give you your hotel vouchers. You present that also. They're going to ask you for that. And there's lots of intricate information they ask you for. American visa, very, 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 very technical. But they make sure that they give you a date of interview. You got to go out there. Even if you're doing your visa application through an agent, you will have to go in for the interview yourself. And go in for the interview because they're going to ask you to do that. Go in for the interview. Once you get there, they ask you all those questions. They check you. They suss you out, these people. They are so well trained that when you get there, they are going to check you out properly. They just look at your reaction. They look at how you're fumbling. They look at how you're playing with your fingers. They look at all those things. And I was surprised when I spoke to somebody regarding the visa application in the United States. And they were telling me that this is what they look for. And they are so well trained that they can see how nervous you are. And on that, they then start digging more. And they tell you, okay, it's in process. Can you please just, we'll contact you and tell you when to come back. It may take up to 3 months or 6 months even. So they go and they scrutinize and they check you out. You'll be surprised the information they get off you from wherever. You will never fathom out how they got the information, but they do get information. So be very, very careful and very wary on when you're applying for that visa. So also, when it comes to filling out forms, when it comes to doing all those complicated applications, do it all in honesty. Do not lie on your application form because you are sure to get caught out with that. So be very careful and apply for that properly and get done, and you will get sorted out with that. Now, the time frame in when to get your visa. It's important that you don't apply for a visa probably 3-4 days before you're traveling, or probably a week before you're traveling. Try and do it in advance. If you know you're traveling, your tickets are booked already a month, 6 weeks in advance, no problem. Somebody asked me this week, they wanted to go to Vietnam, and they said, can we apply for a visa closer to the time? Because in case the visa has expired. When you're applying for your visa, very important, let me tell you this. When you're applying for a visa, you have your air ticket with you. You're giving them your air ticket, so they have your dates and times. So what they will do is, when you're applying now, and if you're traveling on the 25th of December, and you apply now, they will then give you your visa accordingly, but they will make it valid from the 25th of December, probably 30 days thereafter. So they will put there from 24th December to 25th January 2019. That is a validity period of entry for your visa. If you are going to go before that, even though you applied for your visa now, if you change your ticket and you go before that, they will not allow you entry into the country because your visa is not valid at the time. Your visa is only valid from the date that appears for the entry of your visa on your passport, on the visa sticker that you get in your passport. That is the entry date. So you are not going to have a visa that is going to be cancelled or going to be expired by the time you leave if you apply now. Rather, apply for your visa now. Give sufficient time. If you have to go back and forth, you know you have time to go back and forth. So you do that and you
are in time to have your visas and your passport, have all that ready. You do not want to run around last minute. Remember, every embassy in this country have got their own holidays also. They do not only have South African holidays. They have their own national holidays. So they are closed on the South African holidays as well as their national holidays. They are closed in South Africa. So they may be closed for a week. For example, you'll get Chinese embassies. They close for longer periods of time than the other countries. Sometimes 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, they may close because they have that celebration period in that country of theirs, which is a holiday, and here they consider that to be their holiday year too. So be wary of that fact and apply way in advance and get that sorted out. Now, if you overstay your visas, you will be penalized. Many countries will penalize you. So if you have a 30-day visa, get out within 30 days and get sorted and out of there. We are coming close to the end of the program. I want to quickly bring up to you what is a Schengen visa. Now, we are confused about Schengen always. Schengen visa are countries that entered into the 1985 Schengen agreement. And it abolished all internal borders, keeping only one external border. And this bird was to simplify the movement between participating countries, and it created confusion for many, many travelers. Now, Schengen area is not the same as the European Union. Some EU countries are not in the Schengen region. You'll get Ireland, United Kingdom, Romania and Bulgaria. It's not part of Schengen. And some of the Schengen countries are not in the EU. But you have the Schengen countries, which are currently Austria, Belgium, Switzerland, Czech Republic, Germany, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Latvia, Malta, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Slovenia, and Slovakia. Those are the countries that you can use one visa and travel around all those countries in Europe. So if you're doing a Contiki tour, for example, you're applying for a visa of the country that you are entering. So if you're entering into Italy, you go to the Italian embassy in South Africa, you apply for a Schengen visa, you get that visa, a Schengen visa, and you can then enter into Italy, travel in all those countries, and come out of probably Spain, because it's part of the Schengen district. So that is a Schengen visa. The EU citizens traveling to Schengen countries need to show their passport only or their identity cards. We as South Africans, we need to get our passport stamped when we enter, but keep your passport with you. They may just stop you because they have like country borders, but not borders as in where you're going in, getting off, stamping passports. Sometimes you'll just drive through the borders. It becomes so easy. Sometimes there's just a checkpoint where the bus will come there, they'll just check everybody's there in order, and they'll let you go through. Sometimes they'll get into the bus and they'll just ask you at random, just can we have a look at some passports? It's at their discretion. So have your passport in order, have your visa with you, your Schengen visa, and once you got all that, you are sorted, you do not have a problem. Entry, exit, no issues. That is what's called a Schengen visa. Now, to fill out a Schengen visa also, you have to go to all those different countries' embassies. In particular, you don't have to go, if you're going from Johannesburg to Italy, from there you're going to Netherlands, you're going to Malta, you're going to Sweden, you're going to Spain, Portugal, Poland, you're doing all that, including Greece, you're doing one massive tour. You do not have to go for visas to every country. You go for a Schengen visa to one country, and that country then will give you a Schengen visa which allows you to go into all those other states. So the confusion of going to different countries and applying for visas for all those countries, cut it out. I've heard those questions before. I'm just allaying your fears on that. You do not need visas for all those countries, just but one. Get your visa, go in, and you are then sorted with that. So that is now the basics of visa. There's so much more information about visa. I will have to discuss this further on another time. We're already out of time. But there's so much of information that we should abide by, that we should know. We should check our visa requirements But I've got lots of information about this. We will discuss it another time. But for today, we are already out of time. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.